Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Atwendy. It's Thursday. Welcome to the show. I will ask a question I already know the answer to. How are you? Younger and more sensitive listeners may want to sit down for this.
I don't drink that much anymore during the week. Even on weekends, I really just don't.
I thought you were going to say during the show.
No.
During the show, you drink a lot. But after the show, you calm down. As soon as the show's over, the drinking stops. It's like a weird close-and-play phonograph. It's the opposite.
Zip it. I might have had, I'm in a Manhattan state of mind today from last night's Manhattans.
What were we celebrating?
Just my son had a gig last night at the Barrel House in LaGrange, and
They had Manhattans by the pitcher for everybody.
No. Is that how they pay him? They give his mom Manhattan?
They would lose money, Steve. The bar would close.
You're right. No, I never get to go out anymore.
Yeah. And when you do,
you
make up for lost time.
We had a lot of family members. All the McInerney cousins were there, and it was just a fun time.
So you had a couple of drinks, and what have we learned, Dorothy?
Well, here's the thing. I was going to switch to a Miller Lite after two Manhattans.
Yes.
But I put my glass down that was empty on the bar, and when I returned to it, there was another Manhattan there, and I was going to make the switch.
Oh, it's one of those magic bars.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody keeps filling your glass.
What can you do? You don't want to insult them.
No. Plus, it was good.
Now, as a person who doesn't drink very much, I have to ask you this. Not you. Yeah. Do you want to go with a harder alcohol at the beginning and then a softer one later?
Yes,
that's the way it's played.
Yeah, Jasmine's nodding. You get your little buzz going, and then you just switch to beer.
Yeah.
How is little buzz?
Liquor than beer, have no fear.
Mm-hmm.
Beer than liquor, the quicker the sicker.
Oh, wow.
Wait, there's a different one that I've heard.
I don't doubt that.
Candy is dandy?
No.
Is that the one?
And Mandy
there was an old man from Nantucket.
No,
do that one.
No, that one's
fun.
Beer before liquor, never been sicker. Is that the one? So what? Liquor before beer, everything's clear.
Clear sky at night.
Red skies at night.
Red skies at night.
Yeah, yours is better. Yours is better than mine, Wendy, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it.
So what is your head doing now?
It feels squishy.
Your head feels squishy?
Yes.
That's never good. That's never good. Yeah. Do you want a pillow or my pillow or something?
No, because I really will fall asleep.
Oh, well, we don't want that.
I had the same problem with margaritas last night, Wendy.
Oh, wow.
We know better, but sometimes it tastes so good.
Yeah, well, my problem was every time I turned around to talk to somebody, my girlfriend was filling my glass with another, because we had a pitcher of margaritas.
How did you wake up at 2 this morning?
Well, we were only out till like 7, 7:30, because we went after our boot camp. All the girls in boot camp went out for a little fun, you know. So
yesterday was a wash for you, wasn't it, Mary?
I don't know.
You work out, and then you polish off a couple pitchers of margaritas.
And tacos, So I was like, well.
Tell me the truth. Doesn't it taste better after a workout?
Oh, yeah. Same with red wine. Red wine's really good after a workout. Sorry, am I making you feel worse?
Here's a text that may clear things up. Beer before whiskey is very risky. Whiskey before beer, you're in the clear.
All right, so that's how
from
you
Maya
do it.
Angelou. She sent that in.
Robert Frosty Mug.
I love it. Yeah, I just don't. I haven't nursed a hangover in a long time. I really just don't drink that much anymore.
Yeah.
So I've become a lightweight.
Now, I've been told by people who go through this that when they do go through a serious hangover, that they keep saying to themselves, never again. Never. I can't do this anymore.
Oh, no,
I'm done with this.
Again.
You'll still do it again.
Yeah, it's not that
bad. You're
no
quitter.
I didn't have that many.
Yeah. How many is not that many?
I don't remember. I was trying to count this morning.
Well, she must have had three because she had two.
Three or four.
Glass. Oh, there was another one.
There might have been the last call one.
All right.
Oh, boy.
I was home and in bed by 11:15, so that wasn't bad.
In your own home? Or did you just stumble into somebody's house?
No.
I'm Radio's Wendy Snyder. Where's your bed?
I didn't drive.
Oh, good.
I
was afraid to ask that question.
No, no.
I was very afraid to ask that question.
We took two cars there, and after Michael performed, he had to take one car home, and Jim drove me home for the other one. So, I mean, whatever. I'm a grown woman.
You're fine.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to be of no assistance to you today.
That's right. I brought my drum kit in, by the way. I'm going to play the drum all through the show. Is that
a
right?
One or a paper one that you used to give kids at Christmas? Do you get one of those ever?
Yes.
Oh, it was worse. It was broken on, the next day.
Immediately. Yeah. Yep.
I might have to walk to Billy Goat, though. There's nothing like a cheeseburger.
Help?
Oh, yeah.
That helps a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a tried and true method that you have found that does help in a situation like this? Because everybody's got their own theory of what makes the headache go away. Have you found one that's effective?
Blue Gatorade. Gatorade really works.
Good for the electrolytes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm missing some electrolytes today.
Yeah.
Yeah, a cheeseburger.
You're down to just two or three. That's not enough electrolytes. No. You need more. You need a bunch of them.
Get
all right.
The paddles.
We will take a break, and then I'm going to play the drums really loudly.
No, you're not.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you think you'll be able to throw a football around with Mitch Trubisky? Is he going on this?
I hope he does. Yeah, that'd be fun. Wouldn't it?
He's back in.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
You a Bears fan
Good.
Yet?
I can't rightfully call myself. It's not fair to true Bears fans for me to do that.
Are you
I'm
still
an enthusiast.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you ever going to cross into the fandom?
I think because I took a side trip, I have to wait until maybe next season before I can officially refer to myself as a Bears fan.
This is your buffer season to get
yeah.
you back in the saddle?
Yeah. Don't you think?
How
it's,
they doing,
It's wrong
though?
To... They're doing really... I mean, they had some problems last weekend, but hopefully they'll do well this weekend. I'm hoping for the best. I really am. Steve had a great idea for a segment for the show.
Okay.
It just kind of happened organically, but I want to run it past you. Tell me what you think. He told me, now I can't get into specifics, but he told me some gossip about somebody here at WGN, a coworker of yours and of mine.
It's not me.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's Christmas Carol. It's Christmas Carol in sales.
Right. Do you know Carol?
Yes.
Yeah. We found out some crazy gossip about her. I can't go into specifics, legal reasons. So I said, you know, because he said to me, he goes, I have some gossip. Do you want to hear it? And in the real world, if somebody says that to you, you realize you're about to hear something very damning about somebody. But who in their right mind would say no?
No one would say
you
no.
You want to hear it, don't you? So we came up with an idea. Can't do it today, but we'll do it at some point in the future where people can call up and just share some gossip with us. Now, we probably won't know the people that they're gossiping about, but I don't know that it matters. It's just fun to hear some little secret tidbit about somebody.
And it's a relief for the person holding the secret.
Yes.
A woman could call and say, yeah, I've got this about my brother-in-law.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but we can't give names.
No.
Oh, well, all right.
We can't, but the people who call
no,
in can't.
Then,
they can't give last names.
All right, because people are just going to call and make stuff up about people. That's
no,
what I'm going to call
no,
and say, you know what Bill Left did one time?
No. We're not naming it. We're just saying, I've got my neighbor.
Yeah, you could say neighbor.
If it's general,
Or a guy.
My kid's teacher has been spotted at, something like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't
Where
have to
was
be
the kid's teacher found? I want to hear this
you have
gossip.
To wait for the call.
Darn it. I like it.
It's good, right? Because everybody, even though you know this is wrong, because you'd hate to be the person on the other end of it. You'd hate for people to be sharing stories that you don't want to be shared. But part of you just goes, well, I can't say. You know something valuable about somebody that I know? Please tell me. And then in my head, I'm like, once Steve told me what this was about Carol, who works here, and boy, it's horrible. It's just
Stop
awful.
It. Carol, if you're listening, they're just kidding.
I had several follow-up questions that, again, I felt dirty asking, but... Since we were talking about it, you can't just let it go.
Aren't you supposed to not gossip, though?
Yeah, they tell you it's bad.
Yeah, but when she turns her Christmas lights on around her neck and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Christmas Carol.
Yes. 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 But don't, you know what I mean, right? You know, there's stuff that you know, maybe people you work with, maybe neighbors. Every once in a while, you'll tell me something about a neighbor, and I don't know your neighbors, but you'll share something about a neighbor or two, and I'll go, wow, and I don't even know them, but I like to know it. It's just fun stuff to know.
Does it make you feel better about yourself? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just that you're privy to information that you're not supposed to have.
I like that.
Yeah. Everyone, that should go away. At some point in your life, you go, I don't have time for that.
I think it's a power thing, or,
Oh, maybe it is a power.
I've got information is power. I've got something that...
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think people would be willing to share that information with others?
Can we do a trial run if somebody wants to?
This is just a trial?
Yeah.
But again, it's not, we don't reveal anyone. It's just,
right. We won't say the person's.
It's a release.
Do we give their first name, Steve, or not their first name?
I don't think so, no.
All right. 312-981-7200. Share some gossip with us about somebody that you know. This is just a trial run. It could be somebody you work with. It could be a family member, a neighbor. You know a little something interesting about somebody, and you're dying to tell it. we're here for you. 312-981-7200.
We're here for you to be voyeuristic. You.
Yes. Yes. Well, we'll get some satisfaction out of it, but not as much, I think, as the person telling, because they're the ones who are holding this deep, dark secret.
I can't think of any gossip.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. I really can't. I'm trying to think.
Interesting.
I don't have any current gossip going on right now.
I got so much.
You do?
So much. I'm just holding it in. I can't let it out. And it's not even a situation where somebody said, I got something. It's about me. It's not like you're a confidant, a friend. It's just somebody knows something. They tell me something. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody. But it's in my head. I'm surprised I don't sound congested because I got so much stuff in my head about other people, but I don't.
He's suffering from rumogestion.
That's what I have. I need some Doan's pills. If you have Doan's pills, please give me one because I need one.
I don't like having that information.
No? Because why? What are you afraid would happen? You'd tell the wrong person?
No, I'm not. I don't tell. I wouldn't continue the game of telephone if someone told me something in confidence.
Right.
To be honest, Wendy, as you get older, I care. I don't want to know either. Of the next thing that's going to happen in my life. Let me know when it happens. I'm not going to worry about it.
But what you just said, Wendy, it's not one of those secrets where somebody goes, hey, you want to hear something? And they tell you, and they go, don't tell me. This is our secret. It's not that. It's just, you walk around, you hear little bits and pieces of things. You just collect it in your head.
It's not even somebody saying. You're the only person I gossip with. You know that?
But you do, like, on a couple times a week, you'll tell me something about a neighbor or somebody who works here or something.
I don't really have that much information.
No?
I don't know if it's gossiping. Does it have to be bad stuff?
It's better if it's bad.
It doesn't have to be bad,
but if it's good.
If you want people to be interested in it, it should be.
If you want to hold the attention of the person you're telling it to, it should. Badder is better. You know, good stuff. You just go, oh, great. He won the award. That's wonderful.
So they're going to get married.
Yeah. Well, we saw that coming.
No one knew. Surprised me that.
I'm with 708 who just texted us. Is gossip ever really valuable?
Yes. Fast answer.
You're going to be the new Rona Barrett.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Again, you guys have the same haircut.
That's by design.
No, there's an emptiness to it, right?
Yeah, you feel empty inside.
You're energized by it, and then it's like, oh.
Right.
Here's some gossip from a listener, 630. I'm not sure I can be a Bill Left fan anymore until he can make up his mind whether to be a Bears fan.
All right, here's the thing. I would love to say that I am a Bears fan, but because I've been so rude to the Bears over the last couple seasons, I can't just jump on their bandwagon. What would that be? That would be awful. So I'm
in
a...
That's what everybody else does.
But I'm in like a...
All of a sudden, you have principles.
Yeah, but they're so thin. They're so small. I'm like in a probation period. The rest of the season, I'm going to root for them. I want to see them go all the way, but I can't really be a true fan because I wasn't there... During the down times, I was ridiculing them. I was making fun of them on a daily basis. So I can't be a fan.
You do that to me every day.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're showing there is a bit of dignity, Bill.
It would be a little bit of dignity.
Undignified for you to start rooting for them right away now.
Who used to play for the Blackhawks? That's Andrew Shaw. Steve, thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to have. A little bit of dignity, Wendy.
Calling gossip fun is mean. Then someone else has texted, gossip is power.
Boy, yes.
I don't like it. I don't like having that information. I don't like to know something about someone, and then when I see them, it's hard not to judge, and I don't want to judge people.
Oh, really?
I really don't.
Oh.
I'm getting softer as I get older.
I guess so. When you said your head was gooey, what did you
Smushy.
Say? Smushy?
Squishy.
Which would be better?
I don't know.
A gooey or a squishy head?
I missed yesterday's show. Has Bill vented yet on Kevin Hart hosting
the
Oscars?
Don't bring it up. I can't talk about it anymore. It's too painful. It's way too painful. My wife made up a fake list of all the presenters, and it was all people I don't like. She goes, maybe Tim Allen will be there. And I go, oh, that'd be better. Maybe the Real Housewives of Atlanta will be there.
She sees this as a chance to push you over the edge.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. You know who's on today? Tony Fulmer.
And he's waiting in the PPG Paints green room as we speak. He's going to be on with us after the news. It's like, what do you do to get your garden ready for winter if you want a garden come spring?
I heard some stuff about Tony Fulmer, by the way.
See, I don't want that information. I will look at him differently. Trying to think of the connection.
Well, look outside, Wendy. It's a hazy shade of winter.
It's ugly.
That's the connection. Wow.
It's ugly. Tony Fulmer's right here. Well, here's why, and we'll explain it. Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery on Lake Avenue in Wilmette. You can go to chaletnursery.com. I love when you come in, Tony Fulmer. And winter has reared its ugly head way too early, in my opinion.
It has.
And the snow was super pretty, but then when the snow melts, your yard looks terrible. And we in LaGrange had this unbelievable hail that was coming down. Yeah. My yard looks so crappy right now.
I've been in my house for 30 years, and I have never seen damage like I had from that storm a week ago, Sunday into Monday.
The winds? Did you have
the
hail
wind,
as well? Heavy-duty rain?
Not the hail. It was the wet, heavy, clinging snow that just took everything down to the ground. So
yes. Like ornamental grasses, I should have probably already cut down by now, right?
Well, but typically, no, a lot of people leave those up because of the aesthetic value of them over the winter.
They're flat now,
They're flat now, and they're not coming back. So you might as well, if we have a warm day next week, you might as well get out and get it done.
Tony, when you know a storm like this is coming, what do you do to
protect?
Well, you obviously batten down the hatches. That's step one.
You run around with umbrellas. Yeah,
yeah, that's always a good thing. Those little cocktail umbrellas you put in over each.
Yeah, that helps.
So, what can somebody do to help keep their plant life happy and healthy?
I think one of the most important things is to kind of prioritize things.
Yeah.
And there are certain things like arborvitae that if they have multiple stems and they get wet. That wet, icy snow load, they splay open. And once they splay open like that, they never come back the way they were. So one of the things that I do with mine is in the fall, I make sure that I get some nice heavy cable or heavy, heavy, heavy-duty twine and go in and kind of...
Tie them up.
Oh. Tie them up. Put them in bondage. Yep.
That's the rumor I was talking about Tony Fulmer, Wendy. It's true. He just verified it.
That's right.
All right.
Plant bondage.
I have a neighbor who has, I don't know how to say it,
arborvitae.
Arborvitae?
Uh-huh.
What is that?
The tree of life.
The tree of life?
The tree of life.
It's,
evergreen.
Is it a flat, it's kind of a flat leaf?
Like kind of a fern-like needle that is, they're almost like palm fronds or like fern fronds that are arranged like that.
And it looks like an evergreen.
It is an evergreen.
Okay. No wonder it looks like it. And I have a neighbor who has it all on the, they have a corner house, so they have it on the side of their house. And I noticed that some of them were like flopping out. So he tied them. He used bungee cords. He really did a great job. And now when they grow in, it's like a perfect border.
But does he leave that on year round?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you definitely want to be proactive about this, because if you've got all those branches tied together, then they will tend to shed. Even wet snow will just kind of drop on through. But if you don't do that, and once they've splayed open, you never can get them quite back. They never look the same again. They always look not so good. Not so good.
So there's nothing you can do if a storm just comes like that. I mean,
if you didn't prepare ahead of time, there's not a lot you can do. No. No. Oh, the one thing that I should say is I did see someone on a television program the day after, and they were not horticulturists, and they were out with the broom, and they just said, take that broom and start beating that snow off.
Oh, no.
And all
what?
I could think
what
was...
What show is this? SVU? SVU?
It's a local show.
Oh, it is?
And what happens is you
damage.
Break, you shatter. When they're frozen like that, when the tissue is, you just shatter it. And so next spring, some of those plants, if people follow that advice, are going to look really, really, really bad. So if once they're encased in ice like that, there's nothing you can do except wait. But don't go out with a broom or a rake or anything like that, or a shovel, even worse, and just start trying to bang that
wet
snow.
You just let it melt,
there.
Basically.
You have to let it melt. You don't have a choice.
Somebody in the business who gave that advice?
No. Right. It was not.
I forgot about all the ice that was just completely
encasing
each and every branch, because we have skylights, and when that started to melt, these big clops of ice would just fall down on the skylight and scare the heck out of you. But I forgot that everything was completely covered in icicles, basically.
Right. And a lot of times what will happen is if those stay, if evergreens in particular stay encased in that for long periods of time, next spring, a lot of that tissue will turn brown and people will have forgotten that it was encased in snow and they will come in and say, you know, what insect did this? What's the problem? What happened? And especially when it starts sheeting off of roofs and goes over the gutters and then hangs straight down and then drips on the plants when it's warm during the day and then it freezes and encases them overnight. That's really a problem, especially for evergreens.
And what are things that we should do before really winter sets in? I think we are all kind of surprised to get this snow so early this year. Were there things that we should have done? And if we didn't, can we do it now before the big full winter kicks into effect?
Sure. A lot of people didn't get mulch down. So if you want to mulch perennials or get your rose protection on, that's a really, really good thing to do to go ahead and get done now. My concern is going to be, and I'm going to go home and do it later today, is that there are a lot of leaves down. Frozen into the lawns.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand, they think, okay, we'll just leave that. It won't be a problem. We'll get it next spring. But what will happen is if you have thicknesses of big leaves like sycamore and maple and oak, and those get frozen into the soil, into the lawn, next spring when that comes up, you're going to have a big hole there. You're going to have bare soil.
Why? Explain why would that,
that it's just,
be?
I don't know if it cuts off the oxygen supply or what the deal is, but that's just what happens.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so those 5 to 6 or larger inch diameter spots, when those are out in sun, that's where you're going to get crabgrass next year.
Oh.
So you need to, if you can, next week it's supposed to be in the 40s, get out there and
with the
get,
leaf
those
blower.
Get those leaves up off the lawn. Absolutely.
Do you have to get it out of the flower beds?
No, not so much. The only thing is that can be problematic. I teach a class on winterizing the garden in the fall, and the one question everybody asks is, I don't want to waste my leaves. I want to be organic, and that's great. If you're going to use leaves as a mulch, what you should do is you should kind of put them out in the lawn earlier and then run through the lawnmower a couple of times so that you have little tiny
crunch
them up, and then those break down more quickly. But remember, when you're using a winter mulch like leaves on perennials, you're mulching roots. You're not mulching the crown of the plant. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to put 6 or 8 inches of even shredded leaves over the tops of perennials. A lot of them will be dead in the spring.
And you mentioned covering roses, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it, Bill. Sometimes people put like a styrofoam.
Like an upside down garbage can almost.
Kind
like
of, yeah.
It looks about that good.
Yeah, right. It
looks about that good.
I have never, ever covered my roses and they come back every year. Am I supposed to be covering them?
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea, although very quickly, most roses used to be grafted, and when they were grafted, they were less hardy because the variety that you wanted was on a different type of rootstock, and that joint where they were grafted made the plant less hardy. Well, now, more and more and more roses are grown on their own roots, so like shrubs, they are more hardy. So things like the knockouts typically are on their own root system, so we say, after the first year, it shouldn't be necessary, but a lot of people can still do it.
The first year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, I would still do
strong
it.
Strong roots, Wendy.
That's Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. His play, Mulch Ado About Nothing, opens at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse this Saturday. Go see it.
A one-man show.
More with Harry right after this.
With Harry's.
With Tony.
Everything's coming up roses when we're talking to Tony Fulmer. You can find him at the Chalet Nursery, 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette.
Tony wants to mention it's right across the street from Panda Express.
Why do you humor him?
I just knew it was coming, so I just thought we'd get it out of the way.
Yep, you set it up beautifully.
Tony is the Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. I really love when you come visit because I am a gardener. I've taken maybe a year off because of a puppy, but I will be back gardening again. And I also love when you come because you bring us these beautiful gifts. And this time you brought us a poinsettia. I refuse to say poinsettia.
Although technically you're supposed to say it that way.
You're also supposed to say February. Do you do that?
No, Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
All right, so you think of poinsettias, you think of bright red, This is not red.
It is not red.
Explain this.
This is one of the new colors this year. It's called autumn leaves, and I think the best way to describe it is coral. It looks like a coppery, almost like a Tahitian sunset.
Yes,
a tropical sunset.
That's what I was going to say, Wendy. It looks like a Tahitian sunset.
Coral and...
Wendy ordered a couple of those last night, Tony. She told the story earlier. You don't want to hear it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and there another really, really nice one this year is called Green Envy. And don't even...
No, I'm not. Don't even, I'm not.
Okay.
Is it like a lime green?
It is, if you know Limelight Hydrangea.
Yes.
Which I believe you have.
Yes.
It is exactly that color. It's green this beautiful, envy. Beautiful. And you know, and it sounds like it might not be a great color.
Green?
But it's really, well, that it's a strong color.
Yeah.
But it's actually a neutral, and it really works well with just about anything.
Wendy's going to a holiday party at the Hulk's house. Would that be a good gift to give the Hulk?
It would be the perfect gift.
Yeah.
He would be impressed.
Yep. Since I'm just ignoring both of you, and I will just ask questions. It has come up that poinsettias, I'm just saying it my way, poinsettias right. are dangerous to animals. I've read this for all these years. First of all, you shouldn't leave it by your dog or cat because you don't want it destroyed.
Right.
Oh, that's not you?
No.
Oh, that's Tony.
Oh, God.
The Hulk is calling you.
Okay. Make mine a big one. Okay.
So I know that in large quantities, if your dog ate a ton of poinsettias, they'd get sick.
They'd be horrible.
They have the potential to be yes,
poison.
Toxic. Yes.
Yeah.
But a little tiny one, just keep it away from the animals.
Exactly.
How did they become poinsettias? How did it become the official plant of Christmas? What happened?
I have no idea. It's probably a Santa choice.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. I think it was a Santa choice.
That's acceptable.
Okay, good. Right. That's all I had.
Yeah. You've never been wrong, Tony. We've had you on 30 times. You've never once been wrong.
That's all I had.
If you say it, I believe it.
Okay, good.
What else do we have to do before winter rears its ugly head for good?
Well, we certainly don't have to worry about watering. Again, as I said earlier, the big thing is to get leaves off lawns. And if you can, if you have roses, especially if you're rose, even if you have shrub roses that are on their own roots, it's probably a good idea this first year to go ahead and mulch them. Another thing that happens, too, is that when we get a lot of snow cover, we have animal damage. And people overlook rabbits and mice and voles, all of which are rodents. And they can do a lot of damage by girdling the bark, and all they have to do is take a little that outer layer of bark all the way around a stem in a band, and it kills the plant.
All right, now this
that was me.
So
it's the Hulk. He wants to know why Tony won't answer his phone call.
So in particular,
I need you today more than ever, and you are slacking.
No. Sorry.
So things like burning bush or fruit trees or young crabapple trees, you may want to put some kind of protection around them. So you can either do a hardware cloth cylinder and zip tie that, or you can use chicken wire, or you can just put like the corrugated tubing.
Yeah.
You can just make a slit down there and put that around the stem and then push it down into the ground about a half an inch or so. Because while the snow is out there, they're running, or in particular the mice and the voles are running around in underneath there. And when they bump into a nice juicy tree, they will take all the bark off.
Sure.
So that makes sense. That's food for them?
Is absolutely food for them. And once that damage is done, even to a young tree, it's all over then in spring.
I have a holiday question for you.
Okay.
I've heard different things that a person can do. Some people want their Christmas tree to last from late November all through the holiday season, and that's very difficult. But I've heard that there are things you can do to keep your tree, your indoor tree, in pretty good shape.
Okay.
What do you recommend? What's the best thing you can do to keep it looking fresh all throughout the season?
Well, aside from buying the tree at chalet where they're cut the day before their shift.
Of course.
One thing is it's a matter of type. If you're the person that has your tree up for 4 or 5 weeks, you definitely do not want to do a balsam.
No.
They have very thin needles. They have a great fragrance, but you look at them and a week later they start shedding. They dehydrate in a hot, dry room.
Mm-hmm.
So do the types like Fraser fir, Concolor fir, or Noble fir that have really, really great reputation for lasting. The big thing is to, if you're going to have it up for that long period of time, the most important thing is you make a fresh cut, just like a cut flower.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much you take off, but you want a whole fresh layer of new cells exposed that will take up water better. It needs to go within half an hour after that fresh cut. It needs to go in the stand in a warm room. So if you buy your tree and store it for a week, don't put it in a bucket of water in the garage. Cold water does absolutely nothing.
Right.
So you put it in the stand, you put it in warm water, and then those first 4 or 5 days, you want to check it every single solitary day and make sure that that water never gets below the cut end of the trunk.
Right.
Because if it ever gets below there and you get air in that trunk, it will seal up. And then the rest of the time that it's in the house, it will not absorb any water.
Interesting.
So it's important to keep after that.
Okay. What about the myth of putting sugar in the water or Coca-Cola in the water? No. You don't want to do that.
No. Okay. It does nothing.
Right. But you do have to check that water pretty much every day, right?
The first few days, especially if you have a tree, if it's been warm outside, it's a little bit dehydrated, you probably want to check it morning and evening. Because as I said, if it ever goes dry once and you get those cells sealed off at the bottom, that's it.
I have never had a real Christmas tree in my whole life.
It's a wonderful experience.
I wouldn't have any idea how to do it. Plus, I just feel like needles always fall. How long do they typically last if you take great care of it, like you mentioned?
On some of those really long-lasting varieties, a month is probably...
Really?
Yeah, you can do a month. But, you know, obviously, if you can keep the room cooler, if you can cool the room down at night, keep it away from radiators, keep it away from fireplaces.
Bowls.
Those kinds. Yes, exactly. You teach him something, and then, he uses it against you, you know?
Yep. Yes, I do.
And a totally unrelated question to Christmas trees. I have slugs all over my yard, and they're disgusting. Will they die this winter? How do I get rid of them?
No, they have. As soon as the soil starts cooling, they just go down.
Oh, they're the grossest things I've ever seen, and the dog eats them.
So protein is where you find it, I guess. But they will be back next spring. They're just burrowed in down deeper into warmer soil.
How do I destroy them? Blow up the yard?
No, there is a product called Sluggo, which is
Sluggo. I want
not
in.
Not to be confused.
Nancy's boyfriend?
Absolutely.
Yes. Is he the CEO of that company?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
So it's an iron phosphate product. It's really, really safe. And the slugs will start emerging next spring when the soil temperatures get above 60. And so you just spread that over the soil and they come out
of the whole yard? Because they're all
over. Well, no, just wherever they are.
They're taking over.
And they ingest that, and it gives them a very, very, very bad stomach ache, and they stop eating, and about 2 or 3 days later, they crawl to the slug graveyard, wherever that is, kind of like the elephant graveyard.
Yes, smaller.
And
yes,
I do the sluggo in the springtime, correct?
Yes.
All right, if you need a Christmas tree or you need holiday decorations, I'm going to be up north this Saturday, so maybe I'll pop by.
Come and see me.
I will try to
You'd
do that.
You'd be thrilled, Wendy. Okay. It's so nice there.
You love it there.
Yeah.
And she can make a day out of it at...
Well, you can go to Panda Express, Wendy. It's right across the street. Get the orange chicken. Tell them Bill said hello.
This poinsettia is very much like orange chicken. It's the new color, orange chicken.
Yeah.
But don't eat, yes.
Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery, Tony Fulmer, you're amazing. We love having you here.
It's always my pleasure, truly.
And thanks, Tony.
Chalet Nursery, you can go to chaletnursery.com. You're on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, and is there a phone number?
847-256-0561.
You're the best. You really are.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. That's happening from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. If you've ever seen the action-adventure film Die Hard, I'm sure you have found yourself saying, well, this is great, but it needs to be a holiday musical. I don't understand why I'm watching this.
Who would ever say that?
Well, your dream has finally come true. Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas, a Die Hard musical parody, is opening tonight. We're going to give you all the details in just a little bit. But first, three of the people behind the scenes of Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas, a Die Hard musical are here in studio with us. Please explain yourselves, kids. Who are you and what do you do?
I am Tiffany Morswally, and I am directing the musical this year.
Hello, I am Alex Garday. I am one of the authors of the musical.
And I am Gary Fields, and I play the character Hans in the film, Hans Gruber, but in the musical, Hans Olo. Copyright reasons.
Wendy, just like on To Tell the Truth, one of these people is actually in Yippee-ki-yay, the musical. Which one? Can you tell us?
I think it would be Gary,
absolutely
participant.
Right.
I was just saying off the air, Bill, and I must confess, I saw the movie Die Hard maybe twice, And I haven't seen it in forever, so I don't even know the connection. I hear people go, it's a Christmas movie. It's not. It's an action thriller. Explain.
I will definitively say that it is a Christmas film. Yes. I don't care what Bruce Willis himself actually says.
What does he know?
Yeah, what would he know about this topic? We think that it's a holiday film, and that it holds up. It's 30th year that it was released to the year today, and it's...
Yeah.
Pretty amazing how it holds up, and we thought, you know, we need something to do for the holiday season, and what's more fun than making fun of Die Hard and celebrating it in all its glory by setting it to some brand new songs and making it a action-packed musical.
Yeah. So the argument that usually takes place is the movie takes place at Christmas time, but does that mean that it's a Christmas story?
Here's my small reasoning why. Yes. So yes, the film, it takes place on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Check. All right. That is one thing. There's other little things. His wife's name is Holly.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are 12 terrorists, like the 12 terrorists of Christmas. There are other holiday songs that are played in the background when one of the characters is killed. I think we can talk about it. Spoiler alert for the film and for our musical.
Yeah.
You know, it says, now I have a machine gun too. Ho, ho, ho. So there's like a lot of subtle cues that it is a Christmas holiday film.
And Alex, I would argue that Bruce is kind of a savior of sorts.
Oh, isn't he?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's get deep.
Wow.
Let's get deep.
And there's not that much green, but there's a lot of red in the movie.
Absolutely.
Definitely enough.
It does qualify as a Christmas film. So what went on? Tell us behind the scenes the transition of making this an action adventure movie into a musical. That's quite a leap. What did you guys have to do?
About 4 years ago is when we had the very first version of the show. And we actually, the three authors of the show all have roots in the improv comedy scene and music comedy. And so we kind of quickly threw together a skeleton script based on the film of like, what did we want to make sure that we hit, the things that you have to do if you're going to do a Die Hard musical. And then we scripted that and then wrote songs from there, and it has kind of continuously grown and evolved every single year based on audience reaction and what each actor brings to the show, and then what the director brings as well. And one of the reasons we wanted to hire Tiffany is because she is like this perfect blend of improv comedy, sketch comedy, and directing, as well as like musical theater. She just has like that perfect balance and has elevated the show this year to make it more than just like an improv show with some songs, to an actual full like musical theater experience that you're going to laugh at from beginning to end.
What goes on behind that, Tiffany? When you saw it the first time, what did you say to yourself? I'm sure you were taking mental notes of what needed to be done to make it evolve into what it is today. What'd you do?
So the first time I saw it was actually on video. I didn't ever see it in person, which is a catch-22 because, one, it's like, ooh, new vision. I don't have this thing in my head. But what I discovered also is it's such a cult favorite in Chicago that there are moments that the audience wants.
Yeah.
So my job, a lot of my job was figuring out how to transfer those moments and keep those moments from a small, intimate space into a bigger space at the Den. Mm-hmm. So how do we keep it feeling kind of like really jokey and inside jokey, but also make it this polished production? So there's a lot of pockets of improv. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, not when they're supposed to improvise, they will improvise as well.
That's fun.
We try to rein it in. So it's this interesting thing of it's alive, and you'll see a different show from night to night, which is really interesting.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Gary, the character of Hans is one of the greatest villains in motion picture history. Is any of that you?
I disagree with the word villain.
Really?
I do. I prefer the word antagonist. You know, fills a sort of place in the story. But I think there's a phenomenal Alan Rickman quote. He says, "I don't play villains. I play very interesting people." And I agree with that, because you can't come into it being like, yeah, I'm the bad guy. You have to realize he's a person with his own set of goals and wants and desires.
But you know what's interesting about that? When Alan Rickman passed away about a year ago, mm-hmm. we were all talking about what a great loss this was, because he was such a phenomenal actor. And I said, if you look through his IMDb page, he played bad guys, antagonists, almost all the time.
Yeah.
But something about the way he played those people, you still liked him somehow.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. He was definitely one of my favorite actors, very inspirational for me,
yeah.
Which is why I keep getting cast as quote-unquote villains, yeah. I think, has been very formative for me. But he brings, you know, like a very real element to all of them. It's not like a two-dimensional, just right. like Snidely Whiplash, mustache-curling kind yeah. of villain. He, you know, is a real person in all of them. And yeah. he's just a fascinating person to watch.
So when you're formulating playing a character that people know that Alan Rickman played, mm-hmm. how much of it do you... I'm sure you have to create a balance of part impression, part not impression, part original.
Do the voice. Do the voice.
Well... I don't always, you know, bust out my Alan Rickman when nice. I'm on the air. But, yeah, I...
Very nice.
I come at it imposing. Like 100%
yeah.
from the impression.
Do you? Yeah.
I think it starts out a little heavier, and then I kind of dial it back throughout the show.
Yeah.
It's very fun to just kind of walk on stage and literally say one word, and immediately the audience goes, ha-ha, I know what
That's
he's
him.
Doing. That's fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's fun for the audience,
That's
too.
That's excellent.
I don't know.
I can't even remember the movie. I'm going to have to
Is
watch
that true?
It.
I'm not
yes.
kidding.
Oh, it's
Go
so
back
good.
And watch
I
it.
I have
and
to.
Because you will be like, oh, my gosh.
You know what? Interesting about that, though, because I've seen audience members every single year. We have people who come to the show, have never seen Die Hard, and thoroughly enjoy the show just because of the production value and what it is, and they're laughing, and they're enjoying the music the entire night. And then there's those people who are diehard fans
right.
who they are there looking for those specific moments, and when they happen they cheer and they are excited. We have people who come in costumes, we have people who come to the show, they've come every single year, they come multiple times, they bring friends, they're excited to see what's changed, what's evolved, what is new, what's fresh, and also just it's a holiday classic. It is yeah. their thing to do for the holidays.
Yeah.
Now, where have you done this before? It is this isn't the first time you've done it, but this is the first time it's at The Den.
Yeah, so the first 4 years it was at a small storefront theater that was in Lakeview called MCL Chicago, and it was like a home for music comedy and music improv and sketch and all of that that was closed earlier this year in like January, February. But we knew that we had this production that we wanted to continue, and mm-hmm. we knew that we had the audience and to kind of blow it up and make it even bigger. So yeah, we decided we're going to make this thing happen, and we have some other producers, some from Drury Lane and from the Royal George and other things like that, who wanted the show to continue to grow and believed in it, and so worked with us to help get it to where it is today at The Den.
Congrats.
Oh, yeah, big time congrats. Have the three of you or other people connected with the show kept your eyes open for other possible movies? You go, well, we've done this with Die Hard, and we love doing it with Die Hard, but there's another movie or two that we have to try it with. Has that been happening at all?
There's a joke going around the cast about doing Die Hard 2 next year.
Oh, really?
Die Harder. Yeah. I disagree with it vehemently because...
Keep it to the original?
Well, yeah. Also, spoiler alert, I don't have a role in Die Hard 2.
Oh, right.
2, so,
that's true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You would that. Be out of that show. Let's write that
yeah,
one.
Let's yeah, let's write
without
that.
Gary.
I think
yeah.
I'll start now.
Well,
yeah.
I'll skip one. We'll do Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'll come back. I'll play Jeremy Irons.
Oh, yeah.
Be fine.
Were there five Die Hard movies?
I think they're up to five.
My
now, right?
God, really?
Yeah. yeah. But it's a descending scale, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
The first
absolutely.
One by far the best, and then it falls off after that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Den Theater, 1331 North Milwaukee, mm-hmm. here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, I'm at the Den Theater getting tickets, and boy, you guys are nonstop. Tonight's opening night, you run through January 12th.
Mm-hmm.
This is a limited run. People mm-hmm. have to get tickets. You guys are working pretty hard here, huh?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 o'clock, Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. But yeah, we run through January 12th. It's the show to see for your holidays. Come enjoy. Have a few laughs.
Yeah.
You'll have a good time.
Has there been any response with anyone connected with the original Die Hard movie, or do you not want that?
We have not been approached yet by anyone.
Yeah.
We'll take it whenever it comes. I think Bruce himself would really just enjoy it.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
He loves to make fun of himself. I think he'd love to see how we make fun of him and the rest of the show.
Can kids see this?
I mean, I think depend if you let your kids see the film, then
yeah. mm-hmm.
definitely bring your child to the show. I would say it's probably like in a 16, 17 plus range.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, simulations of like, you know, some small drug use.
Oh, yeah.
Or and
small drug use.
Yeah. Well, small to medium, depending on
song about cocaine.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the lifeblood of the '80s. But yeah. I think that if you would let your child see the movie, then bring your child to the show. But
can we do a team of international terrorists see this? Would you be okay with that?
I will take anyone's money, yes. So please, anyone can come see this
show.
You know
what's strange is when I first saw it, that was one of the things that impressed me the most about Die Hard was that all these terrorists from different parts of the world worked together for a common cause. I know that sounds idiotic, but I went, how nice that they all found common ground.
It is weird how multicultural that group of people are. And
it was like the kids from Little Rascals all decided to storm a building. It's crazy.
I gotta see it again. And
you would love it.
Stupid question. What's the Yippee-Ki-Yay reference?
Oh, wow. You do
I
need
know.
To see it.
Wow.
Oh, so it's one of the most, I would say, iconic lines of the film, said by Bruce Willis's character, John McClane. And he basically is taunting Hans, and he just lets him know, I'm coming for you. So Yippee-Ki-Yay, mother.
Did you see there's a commercial on right now where a little kid is about to say that? They're opening up Christmas presents, and the kid is about to say it, and then the dad quickly reaches and puts his hand over the kid's mouth. It's really funny.
I have not
seen
that.
Yeah, I just saw it the other night for the first time.
What's it for? Do you remember?
I can't remember what the product
it's
is
not
for.
Not successful.
I know. Yeah. I know. I can't remember what the product's for.
Duct tape, maybe.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. So give me a best case scenario for the show. People see it. People love it. Where will you guys go next with it?
Broadway.
Would you take it to Broadway?
I think it would be great as an off-Broadway
show.
I think people would love it year-round, for sure. I think it's got the right quality for off-Broadway.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
That'd be great.
That's when all of a sudden you say, maybe it isn't a Christmas movie, and you can play it year-round.
It's got some small holiday themes, but you could see it in June or July.
Sure.
Sure. There's no reason why you couldn't. Again, the show is called Yippee-Ki-Yay, Merry Christmas, a diehard musical parody. It looks like it should be a huge success for you guys. That's my prediction anyway. Give all the ticket information one more time. For people who want to see it, what's their best bet?
Their best bet is to go to the website for The Den. I believe it's thedentheater.com, and that's where you will find our show, and you can just see there's easy to buy tickets for any of our upcoming performances.
Excellent. Guys, great to see you. I hope the show, like I said, is a huge success. I can't see it going any other way. I hope you have a nice run here and then eventually off Broadway. That'd be fantastic.
Thank you.
Again, the show is called Yippee-Ki-Yay, Merry Christmas, a diehard musical parody. We'll take a quick break and come back with more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We've received a couple of texts from people who said, my assessment was not fair of the Die Hard movies. The first one is really good, but the second one, Die Hard with a Vengeance, also really good. It's okay. It's nowhere near as good as the original. But if you really want to look at, and this happens with a lot of movie franchises, once they get into the fours and fives and sixes and sevens, the first one really pretty good, the second one not quite as good, and then it falls off the table. You can kind of see that with the Die Hard movies. First one great, second one okay, three, four, and five, don't need to see them.
I am getting mocked for, you've been in radio 40 years, not quite that long, and don't know that Bruce Willis line, pathetic.
Oh, the Kaya Yippee-A? Yeah.
Yippee-Ki-Yay.
Yeah. I cleaned it up for radio.
Well, I remember the MF part of it more than the Yippee-Ki-Yay. So once it was said to me that way, I totally remember.
Yeah, yes. Fill in the blank.
Also, one of the NBA's best takes the court as Lori and the Bulls host Irving. Kyrie Irving in Boston.
Yippee-Ki-Yay.
How come you never can help me with the basketball players?
I don't know.
It's Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving.
Everything's Kyrie.
Yeah, man. Bulls-Celtics Saturday, 6:30 WGN TV. And can I just tell you that Dan Hampton will be joining the Steve Cochran Show to preview the Bears-Rams matchup.
Original six, Wendy.
He'll be on tomorrow.
All right. We'll take a break, and then Dean Richards will join us after the news. It's all ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about Hard Boys TV.
I feel ashamed to talk to Dean.
Wait, why do you feel ashamed to talk to Dean
Because
Richards?
I asked what Yippee-Ki-Yay, Merry Christmas meant, and everyone's on my case because I don't remember a tagline from a movie that happened 30 years ago.
You're dead to me.
Yep.
See? Whatever.
Me too, Wendy. Dean, it's just me and you from here on in.
Good, I'll go home and take a nap.
We're the Mod Squad without Julie.
I did not know that naps were involved here.
Now yeah. Dean's out too. Now
okay. It's all right.
I remembered the tail end of it more than the yippee-ki-yay part.
Yeah.
You don't have to be fanatic about it. You know. Yeah. I run into people all the time that don't know that. This is the time of year, by the way, where everyone argues whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
What do you think? Is it or is it not?
I think it is not.
It is not. It takes place at Christmas, yeah, but it's not a Christmas movie, right?
It's a Christmas-themed movie.
Right.
Christmas movie, to me, has to be Christmas-themed.
Do you think A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie?
Not unless Santa has a AK-47 and is shooting people.
Right. Right.
Doesn't there have to be some kind of warm and fuzzy in it to make
there
it a
be.
Christmas movie, too?
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. Christmas movie or not a Christmas movie?
Yeah, definitely Christmas.
Yep. All right. The Goonies.
I heard you talking with Steve Cochran telling the big news about who was hosting the Oscars.
Oh, yeah,
and
we're all excited.
I heard you mention how much Bill hates this particular person, glad you keep reminding
people.
Yeah,
did Bill even come into work yesterday?
But, Dean, it's not hate. It's me just literally saying I don't understand him.
You're jealous.
I'm not jealous. I don't hate him. I'm not jealous.
I'm jealous because he's not 4'7".
I know. You want women to put them in your pocket.
No, I don't want that. That would be weird. But every time I see him, I go, let's start over. Let's try again. Let me try harder. Yeah, let me try harder. Is that a Christmas movie, Try Harder? But then he's on, and I just go, I still don't get it.
It's okay.
He's very energetic, I'll give you that.
Very energetic.
I can't even tell you the number of times that the thing that the great Roy Leonard told me before he retired.
What?
There's a reason Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. Oh. There is something for everyone.
He was right.
Yep.
And then did he go and bring home Baskin-Robbins for you?
And then he whispered into my ear, this is actually true. This is a true story. He whispers as he's leaving the studio for the last time. He leans in and whispers to me, I'm so glad I don't have to see the crap that you have to see.
Dean, I would see Roy Leonard. He lived fairly close to me in Evanston, and I would see him at the Evanston Movie Theater on an almost weekly basis, and he was always dozing off during the movie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, you know, you got to get your rest somehow.
Yeah, I guess. But then I always
chair, dark room. It's very conducive to
it. It's hard not to sleep. But yeah, then I'd always say,
come into the screening room with all the so-called critics.
Oh, I know.
See how much snoring is going
on. I know. I didn't realize the first few times Wendy and I got invited to see those screenings in the critics' room that you do not talk to Mr. Ebert or Mr. Siskel under any circumstances.
Mr. Siskel predated me a little bit, but the first time that I went there, I went in and sat down, and then somebody came to me as though I had just murdered their grandmother and said, oh, you can't sit in that seat.
Yes.
That's Roger's seat.
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay. So I moved one row in front.
Yeah.
And sat there, and then Roger came in and asked me to move.
Oh, he did?
Because I was in his field of vision.
Well, that was the thing, is you couldn't sit in Mr. Siskel or Mr. Ebert's seat, or like in front of that seat or in front of that seat. They wanted a clear shot at the screen.
They wanted a clear shot at the screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand that completely.
To this day, I will not sit in that seat.
Out of respect?
Out of respect. And when young punks come in that room who have no idea what that chair is,
yeah.
I never say anything to them because I don't want to be the grouchy old man.
Right.
Saying, get out of that seat, a man who died several
years
ago.
Yeah, that was his seat.
Sit there.
Show some respect.
That seems weird.
Who was the film critic who always brought his mom?
That was Michael Wilmington.
Yeah.
Michael Wilmington always brought his mom.
Always brought his mom.
Yeah.
Well, so what? I think that's super nice.
And you could share a seat with his mom. She was open to that. She'd go, there's room in this seat for both of us.
She sat on my lap several times.
That's fun. It makes the movie more fun.
She wasn't a heavy person.
Right.
The other screening room, Inside the Screening Room Stories, which will be the title of my first book, by the way. I used to tease Roger Ebert, asking him if he ever ate anything that was not loaded with onions. He was famous. It's not a big room.
Really?
Right? It's not a big.
No.
It's not like a giant theater we're seeing him in.
It's like 60
room.
Seats, would you say?
Maybe. At best, it's small.
Yeah.
But Roger would always come in. Often we see movies in the afternoon, and so it's lunchtime. And Roger would bring usually a sub sandwich.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in the day when he was able to eat food.
Yeah.
And it would be a sub sandwich loaded with onions. my clothes would smell like onions when I went home. And I'd see him. It's like, so what'd you get with onions today?
Sometimes he would just bring some onions. He would just eat raw onions, or you'd take a bite out of an onion during the movie.
Yep.
Maybe it was best to have a couple of seats as a buffer when he was there.
Yeah,
maybe.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Build a wall. Build a wall and make Mexico pay for it.
So after one of the movies, Dean, Gene Siskel and I are waiting for the elevator down. And just as small talk, because the movie had just played, I said, what'd you think? And his eyes got really big. I'm not going to divulge. I can't tell you what I think.
I did that to Roger one of the first times that I was there, because that's what you do, right? After a movie with your friends?
Yeah.
What'd you think? You know, you want to talk about the movie? And Roger said, you're going to learn nobody wants to answer that question when we're leaving.
Well, you learned. He taught you something.
Yes. Very valuable.
Roger was very, extremely, extremely nice to me. I'd make fun of him now.
Yeah.
Because he can't defend himself.
Right. Well,
that's the way, but I think the way to play it.
He would make fun. He would make fun of himself for some of these things. And you know what? I kind of now, when I'm coming out of a screening, people ask me, what do I think? And I say, I'll tell you on Friday when I review the movie.
Good tease.
You know, I have to think about it some more.
Good
That's usually my go-to, mind your own business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still thinking about it.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
In parentheses, mind your own
business. Please, mind your own business.
Not telling you.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. He'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend, if he feels like telling you, or you can watch them when you want.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you guys talk about the Golden Globe nominations at all?
No, we will, though. Maybe we'll take a break?
Maybe we'll hit that,
too. Okay, cool.
All right. That's coming up next. Love it. Dean Richards is here. Dean, the Golden Globe nominations were announced today. What are your thoughts?
I was very surprised that the Dick Cheney movie, Vice, got the most nominations of all the movies that are out now, considering some of the blockbusters that are out.
Yeah.
This one won't even open in Chicago until Christmas Day. But it's this movie in which Christian Bale does this amazing transformation. He looks and sounds just like former Vice President Dick Cheney. Was nominated for Best Picture. Christian Bale was nominated. Amy Adams, who plays his wife, was nominated. And Adam McKay, who you know mostly from comedies, was directed. This movie has kind of a little comedic vein going through. It's not a strict political drama. It's actually a really good movie. I'm not sure I would pick it as best movie, but that got the most nominations of everything today. For Best Drama for the Golden Globes, the nominees were Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born. I know those two are mostly music.
Yeah.
But they were nominated as dramas, so they went into that category.
And it's up to the producers to decide what category they're nominated
Correct.
In, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. It's not the Golden Globes. It's the producers who decide where their movies fall. Interesting choice there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if Beale Street Could Talk, it's Barry Jenkins, the director who brought us Moonlight a couple of years ago. That's his brand new movie. And the nominees for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy: Crazy Rich Asians, Mary Poppins Returns, The Favorite, that period piece that I told you about last week that's so great, Green Book, and the Dick Cheney movie, Vice. So there's a long list. Christian Bale and Lin-Manuel Miranda, Robert Redford. John C. Reilly was nominated for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for his Stan and Laurel, Stan and Ollie, that will be coming out.
I didn't even know he was doing that.
That's very interesting.
It doesn't come out in Chicago until after the first of the year, so we have to wait a little while.
I love him.
Who plays Stan Laurel in that?
For that. Don't remember.
I always thought Hugh Laurie would be a good Stan Laurel.
He would be a good Stan Laurel.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
he?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up.
Oh, all right.
And I will.
All right. Let's get to this weekend's movies. And if you wouldn't mind, I want to start out with this very curious title, Anna and the Apocalypse. What is this all about?
It's a very curious movie because, you know, how many people have said, I wish there was a holiday movie that included zombies in it. That really would be my dream come true. And your wish has become reality. Anna and the Apocalypse is part High School Musical, part La La Land, and part Shaun of the Dead. It's based in a high school in the United Kingdom. while a zombie outbreak is taking place. They're trying to do their high school play, and the zombies come and spoil everything. Yeah,
they always do.
That's really what it is. But it's all set to music and big choreographed numbers. It's kind of a fun movie. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Any actors we recognize in Annie the Apocalypse? Nobody.
Not a one. There's all young. It was a student production that turned into a film. So it's mostly young British actors that are involved in this. So no big names involved in this at all, which maybe makes it kind of charming, too.
What did you think?
I gave it a Dean's List B.
Yeah.
Steve Coogan, by the way, is playing
I like Steve
Stan
Coogan.
Laurel.
Stan Laurel.
Oh,
that's a good
really?
Choice also, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent choice.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that. I have not seen it yet. I'm very excited
that
about
sounds
it.
So good. All right. And then the other big movie that's opening is Roma. And Wendy used to work with Roma.
Right.
I did.
Yeah.
Over good at old
WLS.
Roma.
Who knew they could make a whole big that Alfonso Cuarón could
she
make?
She had an interesting life.
Yeah.
A black and white Spanish-speaking film based on the co-host of a one-time WLS radio talk show.
Anything's possible.
Anything
if you just
is
dream.
Possible in Hollywood. Yeah. You know what it is? It's those special effects that they use now. You can do anything you want. This is the most interesting movie. It's fairly unremarkable in that it's really just sort of a slice of life of this middle-class Mexican family. It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is gorgeous. Turns out that this is the story of director Alfonso Cuarón's childhood.
Hmm.
It's autobiographical, which makes it slightly more interesting. As a movie, as a plot, and one thing leading to another, it really doesn't. It's just moments, slices of life of his growing up. But it's so the movie is so beautiful. You have to admire it for that. So I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Dean, remind me, this movie, Roma, is in black and white, correct?
Correct.
All right. What happens to you when you sit down and a movie's in black and white? What is your initial reaction?
I don't know that I really have one. Why?
I love it.
Oh, you love black
and white? I just love it. I go out of my way. If a movie comes out and it's in black and white, I try even harder to see it. You know what it does is it makes the experience more dreamlike because we're so used to color around us that when something's in black and white, it puts it in another dimension for me.
I guess it makes it a little, it can make things a little more dramatic because it's the story of his life growing up in the 60s and 70s. It instantly says this is a story about the past.
Yeah.
Because it's in black and white. So there is that effect. Some people hate it. Some people,
I know.
If they see black and white, turn it off.
They think it's broken.
Immediately. Yeah.
Where's the color? Put the color back in
I think that may be called younger people.
Right. That would be the name for it.
Don't
younger
understand
people.
What black and white actually is.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful and interesting movie. Also, just a couple of other quick ones that are coming out this week. Well, on Netflix, there's a movie that's called Dumpling, which stars Jennifer Aniston, and it's the story of a small town in Texas obsessed with their teen beauty pageants. She is a former contestant. She now runs the pageant. And her daughter, who happens to be overweight, feels left out because the mother's whole life is beauty pageants, and she's not a beauty pageant type. She decides to enter the pageant just to show that, as she puts it, overweight girls can be beautiful, too. And it's a story about beauty coming from within. The movie is loaded with both classic and new songs from Dolly Parton.
Oh.
So there's something very lovely about that. It's kind of a cute, it's not a great movie, but it's a good movie. I gave it a Dean's List C. And also there is this live action adaptation of Mowgli that's coming out this week. It's the Mowgli that you may remember from Disney's The Jungle Book or the live action adaptation that came out a couple of years ago, or the original source material from Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. It's a story about that little boy who was raised by wolves in a much darker, much serious tone in telling the story. It's not musical at all. It's not whimsical at all. It's actually kind of dark and violent, but it's beautiful because they do use those special effects that they used in Lord of the Rings and Planet of the Apes. Mm. So it's extremely realistic, making the animals talk and making things happen in this movie that might not otherwise be able to happen if it were shot conventionally. So it's very interesting. Andy Serkis is the director of the movie, who is the king of motion capture.
Yeah.
And Benedict Cumberbatch and Christian Bale and Kate Blanchett all do voices in the movie. Dean's List B+ on that one also.
Can't wait to see that. Dean, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week from today.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's Dean Richards. Thanks, everybody. A little break, some news, and then more.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.